Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Today we're going to be talking about 90 Day Fiancé, Happily Ever After, Season 8, Episode 1, Once Upon a Rocky Relationship. My name's Marty, I'm here with Jen.
Hey guys.
Let's start with Ellen Kobe. Still living with mom and dad in Thalina.
Yep.
Mom's still a stone cold fox.
She is. I love her hair. I saw her and David, I was more like excited about them than I was like Emily and Kobe.
I could give a fuck about them.
But yeah. Emily, yeah. But can we just talk about if David and Lisa are happily ever after?
Yeah. Absolutely. They're a little bit upset because living in mom and dad's house, so kind of they're in their business all the time.
Yeah.
But that's for a good reason. They're probably trying to prevent more fucking grandkids in the house because it's like not running a damn daycare here, right?
Yeah. And actually to that, I think that this means that David did not get to retire after all wanted. And also, Emily had her third child. It was announced on Instagram the last couple days. Yep. So they've mastered birth control.
They've mastered birth control. That's another couple of years David's going to have to work.
Yep.
Because sure as shit, Emily's not going to pay for this shit.
Yeah.
That's not surprising at all, actually.
No.
Why would you guys show a little bit of self-control and birth control, some shit?
Priority. I mean, I guess if ultimately everyone is happy and okay with the situation, which Emily and Kobe don't seem thrilled with, like, the lack of privacy and whatever, so they don't seem totally happy with the situation. But, like, I mean, if everybody is truly, like, happy and all right with all living together and having more and more kids, like, cool. But like, if not, maybe some priorities, like maybe get your own place. And
I don't know that David's happier.
Right. And that's, I guess we'll hear more from him.
Emily and Kobe are happier and pig and shit, but David wanted to retire. He thought he'd be done with this shit by now.
Yeah.
And he's not. And they keep pulling him down further.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, I know they're complaining about the lack of privacy, but it's like, obviously they got a little bit of privacy. You made another fucking kid.
Good point. That you know, good point.
It's not like you did it on the dinner table during Thanksgiving. I mean, right. Come on. So anyways, Emily's at home taking care of the kids. Kobe's working, saving money to get their own place. Thank God they had another kid before they got their own fucking place.
Yep.
And it's like, that's nothing. That's about respect, man. I'm living in somebody else's house. I'm not going to make another kid before I can get the fuck out of there.
It's like, I don't know. I don't have kids. So the best like thing I can think of is if it's like if something happened and I had to move in to someone else's house and I would have to bring my two cats with me, right?
Right.
And then if I just decided like, you know what, I'm going to buy like a dog too.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to buy like a Great Dane and have like a Great Dane dog too here in your house with my cats and now this giant dog.
Right.
Like, you know,
right.
Like exactly. Why would you do that? Like it's, you know,
and
I don't know.
A newborn is, you will not get any rest when a newborn's in your house.
Yeah, like nobody will.
Nobody's getting rest.
Yeah.
They get so fucking loud. Even if they're in the basement. And David's in the fucking attic. He's going to hear it.
Yeah. All right.
So it's just shitty to her parents, honestly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's like you guys couldn't have waited until after. You're already saving the money. You couldn't wait until after you get the fucking place.
Yeah. And I don't know what their beliefs or whatnot are as far as birth control. I don't know if like, I don't know, is she just, I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know how, what their story is there. But it's still like, I don't know, like if you... I personally wouldn't want to get pregnant again or bring more kids into the home before wanting to move out. Like but I don't know. Shit happens, right? I don't know.
Some women are like, you know, I don't want to go on birth control because I'll gain weight. It's like, yeah, well, getting pregnant will cause you to gain weight too, pal.
Yeah.
It's just, it, you know.
But I can speak to the birth control causing weight gain, though, because when I used to be on the pill, it blew me the fuck up. Like I went to over 200 pounds. And guys, I'm like a 5'1" person. Like that's like a bowling ball, man. Like and the only thing that changed was not my diet or anything else. I started taking the birth control pill. And within 7 months, I gained about 70, 80 pounds.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't figure out what the hell it was. As soon as I stopped taking the pill, weight started falling right off me. And I'm like, well, there you go.
It was the fucking pill.
The fucking pill.
But they have other, there are other methods. You don't necessarily have to take the pill. You could do the, I don't know, the little like shit they inject in you, whatever, last couple of years.
Pretty much.
I don't know.
Pretty much everything is not great. Because it's
No, you can use a condom too.
Yeah, you can. At least you can use the condom.
I guarantee if they ask David, hey, David, we want to do some things. Can you help us out and buy us some condoms? He'd get you a bulk. He'd get you a pallet of condoms.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want any more fucking kids in his house.
Yeah.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, condoms are at least but then, oh, it doesn't feel the same.
It doesn't. Who cares?
Yeah, it's like one of those things like, man, pick what you want to deal with.
No, it doesn't feel the same when you've been up for 20 hours and the kid's screaming. Yeah. Okay? Just wrap it up.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Wrap it before you tap it.
Before you tap it. So they're going to Cameroon to visit Kobe's family.
Yeah.
So I assume David and Lisa are paying for that.
Probably safe bet.
Yeah. Because they're going too.
Yeah.
They're going to be going too.
Well, yeah. If they're going to pay for them to go, they might as well come too.
Yeah, fuck you. I'm going.
I'm not paying for no trip I'm not on.
Do you know how expensive that would be to fly to Cameroon?
Yeah.
They're probably spending 10 grand on that.
I mean, I was like, I haven't looked at international travel, but I mean, man, it's got to be a grand or so for a ticket.
Africa specifically is super expensive.
I believe it.
It's super expensive because there's no direct flight. You got to stop off at Paris and then go to, you know.
Yeah, what they say, like a 23 hours?
Something.
Whatever. Because, and obviously, yeah, and then they came to our hometown, Detroit here, which was one of their connecting flights. Oh, so we missed them, but, you know, another time.
Oh, man.
I'd like to meet Kobe, actually, or obviously so Lisa and David, but, you know, and Emily's okay.
I can deal without her. I don't really care for her. But,
in small doses, I think in maybe a group setting, I don't know about a one-on-one.
Because you'll have other options. You don't have to talk to her.
Right. Maybe that's it. So
it's like, it doesn't say anything nice about her.
Move out of the way. I want to talk to Lisa.
Yeah. Shut up. I'm talking to David. Right. Apparently, there's a civil war going on in Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a French-speaking population and an English-speaking population, and they're just, like, fighting each other.
Do you think that maybe the civil war is because they just can't understand each other?
You know what? Communication leads to a lot of conflict.
It does.
Or lack of communication, I should say. Yeah. You know? So, I don't know.
You know, I kind of like, what I appreciate about these shows is the little bit that we do get to learn here and there about, like, other cultures and other countries, you know? Like,
yeah.
I had no idea what the hell's going on in Cameroon until, and I don't know how long ago this was filmed. Maybe everything's all peaceful now there. I don't know. But
maybe.
I didn't know there was a civil war going on in Cameroon.
No idea.
I didn't know. I didn't know there was French, well, I guess the French, when I think about it, makes sense.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, like, I don't actively think about Cameroon on my own, right?
Right.
So it's just like, I like it. Teaches
it's interesting
us
that
dumb, ignorant Americans about other people.
There's two
other
separate
places.
Factions, and they're kind of, it seems like they're divided by language, but at least by how Kobe describes it, right?
Yeah. And also interesting how he's like, there's a civil war going on. Oh, but don't worry, we'll be safe, though. It's like, well, I don't know that you can guarantee that if there's war going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know, they said that about, like, for a minute, like, with the Ukraine war. Like, oh, yeah, like, that parts of Ukraine were safe, too, for a minute. But, like, you know, that didn't...
You can't always anticipate when it's going to bleed over.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, do you know when it's going to get worse, if it's going to... You know what I mean?
Yeah, these things tend to deteriorate rapidly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, okay.
Like, I doubt they're going to go for the weekend. They're probably going to stay a while there.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's... So, I don't know. Emily's afraid that his family's going to think that she's bossy and a bit much. Which, I mean, is that wrong?
Right, that is a fair assessment. And she, kudos to her for being at least a little self-aware.
Yeah.
That she can be that way.
But not self-aware enough to be like, I should change.
Yeah.
That's just who I am. Shut up.
What do they say? Being aware of it is a first step or whatever? Or admitting? What is it with the steps?
The first step to recovery is admission.
Like admitting you have a problem? That's it. Admitting you have a problem.
I don't know that she knows it's a problem, though.
Well,
she's just,
maybe the first step is admitting.
She's kind of halfway through that first step. Yeah.
And then she'll get to the part where she admits it's a problem.
Right. Maybe.
We'll see.
Meeting Kobe's Cameroonian family for the first time, I feel like Emily's gonna mess it up.
Yeah, she's
like, she can be obnoxious. She's spoiled to death.
That's where it's like, I don't know what the experience is gonna be like there. Like, are they gonna, where are they staying? Are they, I don't know the living conditions.
I don't know
the culture at all. Are they, like, you know, is she, is the food going to be different?
I think the food's going to catch her. It's going to be the first thing. Like, I don't like that. They have chicken nuggets.
Oh my God. I hate that. I hate the adults that at least try. Like, okay, get yourself a plate of chicken nuggets, fine. But will you at least try a bite of my dish? No, I don't like it. Have you ever had it before? No. Well, then how do you know you don't like it? I just don't. Like, okay.
I can tell.
Right.
It's like, I don't picture her making the best out of any like situation. You know what I mean?
No. And I picture being just kind of fussy and bossy and... Kobe trying to just kind of have that smile on of like, oh, no worries. But like his wife is just being really bossy in the background. And
he's just seething on the inside.
Yeah.
So, how about Nicole Mahmoud? Nicole's still rocking the Dutch boy haircut.
Yeah. I like the red. Well, I like the blonde too. But I like the red also. Except like when she has it done, like at the airport and stuff, where like the bangs and whatever like brushed out, but like when she's being interviewed by herself, it's like tussled and she looks like an old woman.
Yeah.
Like she's in her 40s, which I forget. And I think she's like 41 or something, but it's like when she has the hair like that, she looks like my grandma. Like she looks like my nana. And I'm just like, ooh, you know, like put a few more wrinkles on you and you're my nana.
Yeah. Honestly, I think Egypt was bad for her hair. When she was in Egypt, her hair just didn't look good.
Well, probably because it was her body hating being in Egypt, you know? Like probably. When you're stressed and, you know, whatever, like she your hair not... falls out, you gain weight, you get all fucked up.
Like, her hair was very straw-like in Egypt. Maybe it's just... She may not have had access to the products that she usually uses. I don't know.
And even water. I know like in different states, when I use the water to shower, it'll do different things to my hair.
Oh, it's just,
I don't know, hard water or whatever. Well water. I don't know.
It'll mess with your shit. Yeah. So, well, she's living in L.A. again. I don't know if they really went into what she's doing for money.
Yeah,
LA's not a cheap place.
No, they didn't really cover that. Maybe that explains why she was buying pajamas from a thrift store.
Maybe.
That is bold. That's a little bit next level. I'm all for thrifting, but I don't know that I would buy pajamas or underwear because, like, it's used.
Yeah.
And pajamas, some people wear pajamas and they don't wear underwear. Some people wear pajamas with underwear. Yeah. Some people wear just underwear to bed. But it's like, so either way, it's like you're in bed, you're wearing pajamas, everybody like sweats when they're, and I know you can wash them, whatever, but like, I don't know. I just think that like things when you're like underwear, in pajamas, like, I just don't think.
You don't want your boys playing in someone else's neighborhood.
I don't know. I just have this impression, no matter how many times you wash those particular items, they're never like fully clean. You know what I mean? Like you've never fully erased the other person's balls from this set of pajama shorts, you know. No. They're still there somewhere, you know. I don't know.
And it's like, you know, they've been, what if they shit themselves at some point, you know?
Yeah, that's always a... And then, too, like, how many times did they fart in those pajama shorts? You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know.
It's just fart.
Pajamas and underwear are just obviously very intimate items of clothing that I just think have been too close to someone's junk.
Yeah, for too long.
And, you know,
I love the flashback of her in that miserable bathing suit when she was like, just like a seal.
And they had like the right kind of like, I don't know, like filter on it of to make it look extra sad of a scene. I also liked the flashback, well, I didn't like it, but of like that explosive fight her and Mahmoud had and Reese grabbing her and you know, whatever. And I'm like, no surprise that, you know, he was arrested for domestic violence not that long ago.
Right.
Charges were dropped though, supposedly. So, didn't surprise me. I'm like, it tracks.
He was a little handsy. A little too handsy. Yeah. So, switched over to Mahmoud, and he's getting ready to go to L.A. And family's sad. Mom is sad. But his mom did let him go.
Yeah.
He's not that much of a titty baby that, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to guilt him to staying.
Yeah. I thought that was nice that mom was like, you know, I'm sad to see him go, but like, I'm not going to hold him back. I'm not going to stand in his way. And we're like, we've seen over the years on all these different spinoffs, like lots of parents try to convince their baby not to go or, you know, like for this reason or that. And it's like, mom's like, you know, soar, baby bird, like fly away, baby bird. I won't hold you back. And it's like, good for you, mom.
Good for mom. I'm not going to lie. It was really sad when brother was kind of seeing him off. Because his brother is actually, like, the hero of their storyline.
Yeah. But I was thinking, like, oh, can he come too for, like, yeah. like start him out? Like,
I don't know if I can take these two shitheads without the brother being involved. I don't know.
Like, I don't know, some kind of 30-day visa for, like, a relationship coach or something.
Yeah,
like, just something.
That ought to be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The number one thing that stuck out to me is Nicole seems to think that Mahmoud being in the United States means that they're not going to be forced to live this like Egyptian by Egyptian rules and the Egyptian lifestyle. Like, I think that's coming with him, lady. Yeah. I don't think, you know.
Like, he's still going to have his beliefs and how things should be. And I also think that, like, you know, Mahmoud was worried about, you know, which I don't know. I think is always kind of funny when the tables get turned. We're like, oh, I don't know. I'm leaving everything behind. It's going to be a culture shock. Like, yeah, what do you think your wife went through? You
I
know
just
what I mean?
Went through.
Like, you know, and but also, like, I think that, like, I don't know. I feel like people generally, and it depends on where you're moving to in America. If you're moving to some really rural hillbilly town, maybe not.
Right.
But if you're moving to a place like Detroit is very diverse. You've got LA, very diverse. New York City, very diverse.
Yeah.
Like, you've got these major cities that are very diverse where, like, he happens to be moving to LA. I cannot say for certain, but I think that like Mahmoud has a better chance of coming to LA and being able to find like a Muslim community,
like-minded people,
and see other Muslim people like himself.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee there's an Egyptian Muslim community in LA.
Yeah, and I'm sure he can find a mosque. Whereas, like, if you flip it, I feel like, and we did kind of see, it seemed difficult for Nicole to say move to Egypt and find like an American, like, girl wearing crop top subdivision, right? And and like, I don't know how, and I really don't know, like, how common it is. Like, I don't know what religion Nicole was, if any, before she converted to Islam.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know, like, I mean, how many Baptist churches am I going to find in Egypt if I went over there? You know what I mean? You know, I don't know, you know? And so it's just interesting to think about. Like, I think he's going to do a little bit better here than if Nicole did going there, because he's going to find people like him here.
Oh, sure. So. Absolutely. And just speaking of, like, the Egyptian rules in America, like, Nicole was already worried about, like, not dressing appropriately.
Yeah.
Like, to go pick him up. And, like, that's just surface level shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know that he's going to lighten up just because he's in the United States.
I agree.
And according to Nicole, this is the last chance for their marriage. But I feel like she's said that a couple of times, though.
Yeah, I think we've heard that quite a bit.
From her, yeah, specifically. So yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll see. How about Ashlyn Manuel? Yeah, so Ashlyn teaches a spin class. I was kind of thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I liked it. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like that's fun for Ashlyn. That seems to kind of track to me for Ashlyn. And
yeah.
I also loved that Manuel was doing the class also.
I gotta give him credit. That's a pretty supportive thing to do.
Yeah,
you know?
And I have done a few spin classes. I didn't give the class, but I participated in. Man, I mean, it's kind of one of those things, like, it is what you make it. If you're just going to kind of pedal, like, whatever, you know, then it's whatever. But, like, spin class is hard, man. It is a good workout.
Oh, sure. I can see that. I mean, Manuel looked like he was dying, you know?
Yeah.
So,
he's like, por favor.
Yeah. This woman's going to kill me. Yeah. So, you know, we kind of already know the story of how they got together. We just saw them, like, a week ago.
Yeah.
They went to a carnival to meet up with her family, and Manuel's working on his English. It's kind of like the...
And that too, kind of
ketchup. You know?
Yeah, and that he talks about, like that was like a thought of mine. Like, why doesn't he know how to speak English yet? Like, why hasn't that been worked on? Like, not to sound like an ass, but like he's like, oh, you know, my wife. If I had a better wife that was better at teaching me English, and it's like, okay, well, whose fault really is it? Is it that Ashlyn is really just comfortable speaking Spanish, so she's not really teaching him, or is it really him just maybe getting annoyed and not wanting to bother learning?
Man, there's so many resources online for free.
Yeah, and if he's sitting at home and can't work, go on Duolingo and learn a little bit, man.
Get on YouTube.
That sounds very.
There's a million channels for learning English on YouTube. I guarantee it.
Right, and I feel kind of like, I don't know, like we're some American assholes, like learn our language, like, but like, I live here. I don't know.
It's not even like you're obligated to learn our language because we feel like you should learn our language. But don't you think it'd make things easier?
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
You
it'll help.
Yeah. You know. Like if I, you know, if I moved to Mexico, classic example or something, you know, I would have to brush up on my Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just, I, you know, yeah. just, it is what it is. You're not going to live in your house all day, every day. Right.
Right. And, so. And I don't think it's, I don't know. I don't think it's exactly fair to wander out and just expect that you'll speak, like, I'll speak American to anybody in Mexico and just expect them to just know my language.
Right.
Like, okay, let me humor you. Let me try.
Or to tether myself to somebody and make them translate for me all the time. It's just, it's not reasonable. It's,
agreed.
You know. Ashley's mom's concern, Ashley's not met Manuel's kids. And that is weird. They're married.
Is. Yeah. And it was an excellent point her mom made. Of what, for 10 years they've known each other and she's traveled back and forth, whatever. And out of all this time, she's never met his kids while she's been in Ecuador.
That's weird.
That's weird.
And you've been married for a year.
Yeah.
On top of that, yeah, that's hard not to see red flags there. You know, like something's up.
And then it did get me nervous when mom was like, well, how do you know that he doesn't have more than two kids? It's like, ooh, why would she know?
He wouldn't. You know, he very well could be lying about that. I don't know.
Yeah,
he was pretty secretive about his private shit. So
yeah, because he, like, what'd you say? He picks and chooses what she needs to know. It's like, okay, sir, that's what?
That's weird. I mean, you think you have this sort of emotional, loving connection with somebody, you would want them to be part of, like, your kids' lives. I don't know.
And even with that logic of, like, him controlling what he thinks she needs to know, it's like, well, obviously, literally anything bad, you are gonna think she doesn't need to know.
Yeah,
like me, like, oh, I don't know, like, oh, he doesn't need to know that I cheated last night. I'm not gonna tell him.
All right,
he doesn't need to know that I'm broke. Doesn't need to know that. He doesn't need to know that I got fired from my job. Like, you know, you know what I mean? You're probably, like, going to choose the bad things you think they don't need to know.
And it's situational. Like, you don't have to tell her about how you shit yourself in the fourth grade.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's but certain things, yeah, she might need to know.
Like,
you know?
Like, if he has more than two children.
Like, if he has more than two kids.
She should know that. You should tell her that.
Yeah, right. So, when mom asked him about this outright, his excuse was really stupid. Like, well, I didn't want to confuse the kids. Like, brother, teenagers, I think they understand that you've married someone that isn't their mom. I don't, where's the confusion coming in?
They know what marriage is. They're, you know, they're not three.
What are you talking about? You don't want to confuse them.
And again, it's like, is it because they know you're married to someone and they'll be confused? Yeah. And they'll be, well, why are you marrying her when you're already married, dad?
What? Like, what happened to my other stepmom?
Yeah.
That would be confusing.
Like, dude, like, I don't know. It's red flag, man. I don't know. I think mom should hire that private investigator.
Might not be a bad idea, honestly.
But I don't know. I don't know. I don't really know how much a private investigator would be able to track down internationally like that. I don't know.
Well, she can hire someone in Ecuador.
Remember that guy, who was he, David, that went to Ukraine? And then he, with the one woman that, like, stood him up or whatever forever.
Oh, yeah,
that
everyone
was so sure wasn't
David
real.
David and Lana?
Something. Yeah, and then he fired the private investigator for him saying she's fake. And then lo and behold, she was real.
That's true. Yeah, she was playing him.
Yeah. That was my first time I noted and loved TLC's, like, editing was when, like, they zoomed in on his giant, 1990s leather jacket being caught in the door.
They did him dirty, man. They did him dirty. Yeah, that was great. Like, oh, no, this is a scam, and I tell you why. Here's all the evidence and everything. It's like, you're fired. It's
yep.
Like, come on, dude.
Yeah, like, okay, bro. But then, like, an episode later, She's alive. She's real. Here she is. Like, ooh, egg on that guy's face, man.
But only a little bit, because it was still a scam.
But she was real.
I mean, yeah, okay.
But I don't know, to be fair to that guy, to that investigator, I don't know if he, I don't remember if he actually said, like, she, like, obviously the person exists, the pictures, her, she's real, but, like, she's not actually who you're, like, talking to, but she was who he was talking to.
And I think he did mention to him, if I'm remembering correctly, that when people in Ukraine do this a lot, like, this is a scam that people will do in Ukraine, and they have a lot of dudes on the hook, and he just, David wasn't fucking hearing it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I wanted to rewatch that episode. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
How about Gino and Jasmine? Their story's getting a little played out, even though they're one of my favorite couples, it's like, we just saw you guys. We need a little bit of a buffer.
Yeah, I need a minute. Yeah. They should have waited for them till next week like they did the other people.
Yeah, I agree. I was jealous of the pontoon boat he was on because Michigan rules for boating.
I have been on several pontoon boats in Michigan and in Florida.
They're fucking fun.
They're fun. It's just like a, like, cool vibes.
And just to drink and hang out. Yeah.
You just kind of float, drink. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I get mad at Jasmine for not really making the best of something, but like she's shitting on the fact that, like, they're not on a yacht.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And it's like, listen, even if he's not working right now, even if he was, an engineer can't afford, like, maybe a day on a yacht, but not like a full, I don't know.
And what I love this scene for a few reasons. One, because so I was doing stuff while watching whatever. I walked out to the out of like view of the TV or whatever, and I just hear Jasmine yelling what sounded like huge jugs, and I'm like, what the fuck is she talking about? So I run in and I'm like, oh, she's saying, and I hear it's going. I hear, oh, she's saying judge, okay. But I'm like, what is she talking? I'm with Gina. I'm like, what is she talking about? And she's like, jot, judge. I'm like, what? And I had the subtitles on, and I'm like, still, what the fuck is she trying to say? And then she's trying to say, she's like, oh, you don't understand my English. Like, you know, am I pronouncing it wrong? And then he figures out it's yacht. I've seen, there's like this meme, I'm sure you guys have seen it, that goes around about how like ridiculous the English language is. Like what, or like some kind of like the English language is ridiculous. Like, you know, good luck to like foreigners for like words like yacht is like the word that is mentioned in this meme. I can't think of the exact wording, but like yacht is what is pointed out as like good luck to anybody learning English because English is stupid, aka, you know, please see yacht as a word.
Yacht, yeah.
And like, so I just thought it was funny, like in real life,
Y-A-C-H.
A person trying to she obviously read the word yacht at some point in her in learning English, but never learned the pronunciation of it, but she said it the way like you would think you would say it, jot or whatever.
Yeah.
But so I just really love that, like, she did the meme. You know what I mean? She's the foreigner that tried to figure out how to say yacht. And, it's impossible.
In Spanish, a Y can be pronounced as J.
Yeah.
You know, so
she did it right for what she knows.
She did it as a Spanish speaker.
I just loved it. I was like, oh, my God, this is actually happening in real life for me. So, yeah.
Right. And I don't know. It bothers me when, just in general, when people can't just like appreciate stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like you're on a boat. It's like a good day.
You're on a fucking boat. It looked sweet.
Yeah.
You know, that was probably an $80,000 pontoon. It was a beautiful late model pontoon. Like, come on.
But then all she wanted to do was like bang on it.
Well, you can do that too. Just wait till nighttime. It's fine.
Yeah.
They are trying to make a baby. It's their honeymoon and they're camping.
Yeah. Which.
I love camping, but I would not take my wife camping on a honeymoon. We just wouldn't have a honeymoon if that's my only option.
And you know what? Gino, I know the poor guy is trying to fucking, you know, penny pinch here, but Michigan is a beautiful state. And you're talking about summertime, whatever. Like, you've got Pictured Rocks. You've got Mackinac Island. You've got even, like, an Airbnb on Houghton Lake or, you know, which is sort of close
beautiful.
To, you know, like, well, it's like 2 hours away, whatever. But like still, it's like you can do something relatively cheap and have a better honeymoon than some lawn chairs on a campsite. Come
a night or two at the Grand Hotel in Mackinac Island. That's a beautiful, beautiful honeymoon there. You know. But I mean, to his credit, he took her to a KOA. And those are typically a little bit more upscale than your regular campground, right?
I would hope that whoever I marry someday knows not to take me camping for my honeymoon or for any special occasion.
Yeah.
Like, if you think you're gonna like wow me and like, oh my god, she's gonna love this, and what you're thinking of is camping, no. I am not a camper. I enjoy like sitting by the campfire having some s'mores. I'll even humor you and I'll sleep in a tent one night. After that, and if the campground has a shower, I might be able to give you two nights out of it, maybe. But like, I am not for. I love hiking, guys. I travel all over. I go for hikes. I go exploring. I check out nature shit. I love this stuff, right?
Sure.
But I don't like sleeping in it. I want to go home. I want to wash my feet. I want to lay on a mattress. And I know you can get elaborate with camping and have like a cot and all this bullshit. But like, okay, you know what
it's
I mean?
It's not gonna be your bed.
Yeah, like,
you know,
I don't love camping enough to invest in all kinds of like crap to be able to do it comfortably. Okay,
sure.
And like maybe a yurt, that'd be sweet.
They could have got a most campgrounds have cabins.
Yeah,
they could
have got a cabin. That's true. They have all kinds of cabins you can rent. They have and they do have yurts. Like you can go to the UP and you can on Airbnb you can get a yurt. And there's like shower and it's sweet, man.
It's awesome, man.
And like even that would have been better than fucking the KOA. I mean, like come on, man.
I mean now I will defend him. Well, I can't defend him for the honeymoon and a campsite. But I do want to remark that their actual campsite was sweet because it was right on the water. It was a beautiful campsite. Just, not for your honeymoon, dude.
And if Jasmine was some real, like, outdoorsy type person, then maybe she would have. I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and be so bold to say that I don't think there's very many women out here, outdoorsy or not, that would want their honeymoon to be camping. If you're camping somewhere, like maybe really special, like maybe, I don't know, like in Sweden somewhere.
Or like we're going to Africa to camp and do a safari.
Yeah. Like, okay. Like something that's really fucking sweet. Cool, but like in like the fucking woods, you know, an hour from Canton in Michigan. No.
And Michigan has beautiful camping, but it's just, there's a time and a place, man. It's just not, it wasn't right.
Yeah.
But she did enjoy the roasted marshmallows. I was kind of surprised to see that.
Yeah, she doesn't seem like someone that would eat marshmallows because they're like all fat and sugar.
Sure.
And I love that she was really going in on it.
She liked it, yeah.
She called it. She's like, it's like eating corn. And that's how she was eating, like a corn on the cob. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I never thought Jasmine would eat a marshmallow.
No. I never thought she would ever go camping. I can't believe he convinced her to go camping.
Yeah.
Honestly. But Jasmine believes they should start looking for another house, not big enough for the kids and this new kid they're bringing and all that. It's like, listen, and more importantly, they're staying at a place that he lived with his ex-wife, which I think is the real reason she wants to move. But anyways, he doesn't have a fucking job.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys shouldn't even really be trying for a kid right now
because
he's not employed. So they're living off his savings. How long, I'm sure he's got plenty saved up, but the fact is, you should probably have an income stream before you even start trying to make a kid, let alone move.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, if you know her two kids are coming, like, in a month, her two kids are going to move here. Like, okay, you're going to need more space to accommodate two children.
Right.
Start looking for that. You know what I mean? As soon as you know, that's for sure, start looking for something.
Right.
But, or, I mean, I guess you could probably make it work if, if they can't, surprise, they're here today. Right. But, like, you don't need to look for a house and spend the money on a house. And like Gino said, like, I'm looking for a house, so I understand this. Like, the housing market right now is absolute ass.
It's shit.
And it sucks. It's impossible for, like, your average, unless you're, like, rich as fuck, it's, like, good fucking luck.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, you don't need to be spending the money on a house if you don't have a reason to right now.
Right. And it's, like, man, it's just, he needs to get a job and start saving again. And period. It's just, I don't like how freely Jasmine will spend Gino's money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And how shitty she can get with him when he's actually making sense.
Yeah.
He's like, maybe we should just kind of be a little conservative here,
Right.
Not just spend. We're honeymooning at the KOA. We're not in a position to buy a fucking house right now, okay?
Exactly. So. And then I didn't like that. Well, and like, yeah, she's like, well, when we have the baby, we need, it's like, okay, if and when you have a baby and if and when you get pregnant, we had a good 9 months, man. Like,
right.
Relax.
Right.
And like, I'm not buying a house today for the baby we may or may not have. And then she goes to reveal that her whole secret from Gino of how it was difficult for her to conceive and get pregnant.
So it may not happen anyway.
Yeah. So it's like, one, congratulations on you yet again having another big secret you're hiding from Gino. And then now you're pressuring him to buy a house for this baby that you just said is going to be probably really difficult for you to be able to have.
Right.
So what are you doing?
One more secret from a woman who will erupt over any sort of little secret.
Like a napkin from his 40th birthday party he forgot about.
That was a big fucking deal. And it's like, it's from his 40th birthday. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, well, apparently Jasmine cares. I don't know.
Like the way that, the way she ripped up that napkin, but yet, like, he can't rip up her ass implants because her ex-boyfriend got them for her.
No way. Yeah, so. Alrighty, how about Robin Sophie? Sophie's living with her best friend in Austin, a woman named Kay.
Yeah, she appears to have left Rob for now.
Things have not been going well with Rob.
No.
Surprise, surprise.
I was surprised that like opening up, like, cause you know, we saw them like a week ago at the tell all, they're still together, whatever. And then like within like 5 minutes of their intro, it's like, yeah, I'm not with Rob anymore. Like what?
I was surprised that it happened as quickly as it did.
Yeah. Same.
The result I knew was going to happen, but just I'm surprised at how quickly it happened.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. So, and, Rob, his perspective is like, I'm still married to Sophie, at least for now. Yeah. Right. It blames, and he's kind of trying to gaslight and reframe the narrative and everything, because he's like, he's kind of blaming her for pressuring him to get married right away. And like, dude, we saw what happened, man.
Yeah.
Okay, you were all in. You were all about getting married. It wasn't her pressuring you, dude.
Right. It's like he was he blamed the K-1 visa. Like, oh, it's the K-1 visa's process, and how short of time they gave us is the problem here.
Right.
Like, not like, you, like...
I tried telling her there wasn't enough time. That's bullshit, dude. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
And it's like you chronically cheating...
Right.
It wasn't the problem at all. Or your narcissism.
Oh, yeah. And the only reason she's living... Or the only reason they're broken up is because of Kay, and not for the fact that we found out that he was talking to way more women than we realized before.
Yeah.
Right?
That's like we talked about the tell-all and about how – and I think I mentioned this about how like somebody, whoever were all there, asked Rob and Sophie at the tell-all like when they discussed the online cheating, like has it happened since? And there was a really long pause
right.
from them until Rob finally was like, no, hasn't happened. Right. And it's like now I think we know – yes, it did. And
yeah, either it did or it happened. Maybe it hasn't happened since, but it happened a lot at that time that he didn't own up to it.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, if you get caught with that shit, you just got to be like, here, this is what happened. You got to be 100%.
Yeah.
And
because you're fucked if more comes out later. Right. It's like, okay, is this, because that's usually what women say. Is this the only time? Is this the only one? Is this the only person? Did it happen one time?
Right.
Yep. One person, one time. That's it. And then you're fucked if later on it comes out. Nope. It was actually 49 more people. Like, okay. Because now we got to fight over that. And we have to fight over how you lied when I asked you this a while ago.
Right. And I didn't like that. He kind of implied that Sophie and Kay are having like a lesbian relationship because, you know, Sophie came out as bi and his dumb friend at the batting cage is like, oh, she's sleeping with somebody else. It's like, dude, chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like women can be not with a man and not be sleeping with someone. You know, like and men, too. You can be single and not banging someone. And then as Rob was going on like to with his interview about how like, you know, I'm wondering like, you know, well, she hasn't been sleeping with me. So, you know, who is she sleeping with? And it's like, okay, what about you, sir? If you haven't been sleeping with Sophie, who have you been sleeping with? Because according to you,
using your logic,
she must be sleeping with someone else, if not you. So you must be sleeping with someone else, if not her. So let's look at your phone, Rob.
Yeah, like, let's take a peek, dude.
Let me look.
Sophie's mom visiting. She's obviously not so happy with the idea of her potentially working things out with Rob.
Yep.
We learned a lot more about Sophie's mom.
We did. And I also want to point out that I thought it was very unsurprising that Sophie's mom happened to find herself a boyfriend in the same city that Sophie lives in.
Yeah, see, that's what I was talking about before with her, this, like, unhealthy
like,
codependent
shit. Yeah, like, her
shit.
Mom cannot stay away from her. And I literally said out loud, of course she found a boyfriend in the same city and state Sophie happens to be living in. Of course
saying,
she did.
Man. Mom, dude, Rob's fucked up, but Mom, something's going on with Mom, too, though.
Yeah.
You know, so you gotta give just an ounce of room for Rob. It's because Mom's also fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So, what we learned, Mom had a history of substance abuse. I assume that means alcohol, but they didn't get real specific about it.
Just addiction.
Just addiction. And I feel like when you lose a lot of years with your kids because of substance abuse, like, you're never going to have, like, a normal parent-child relationship. And I've said from the beginning, I didn't think their relationship was a normal, healthy parent-child relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're more like friends than mom, you know? Like, even when you're grown, you can have, you know, that kind of friendship with your kids when you're grown. But there's always this underlying, like, that's my mom.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
And that's where I think from, like, I can speak to that. And I you know, as, like, a daughter having a mom with substance abuse issues. Like, you know, growing up, my mom was an alcoholic. And from, like, a very young age, even before you kind of realize it, you become... One, you don't get the kind of love and attention that a kid naturally is, like, looking for from their parent because their parent is occupied with their own substance abuse.
Right.
And that's the most important thing to them, whether they want it to be or not.
Right.
And then you get very inconsistent love all growing up because, like, when, essentially for me, like, when my mom was sober, she was great. Mm-hmm. But it's so unreliable and like, unpredictable that I don't know if I'm coming home from school and I had a bad day and I have my sober mom to talk to about it, or if I'm coming home and she's wasted.
Right.
And so it's a very inconsistent, unreliable love that you get from a parent that you're,
right.
and you're supposed to be able to get that from your parent. And so it's like you grow up, one, already having to take care of your mom when it should be the other way around. And you grow up learning that, like, it's love is hard, that you don't get it easily. It's like, you don't necessarily have to, like, fight for it, but, like, it conflict being involved there, it is normal, becomes normal to you.
Yeah.
And so then when you grow up, you get, that's what attracts you. And that's what I had to learn and heal in therapy is, like, that's what gets you attracted to, whether you know it or not, bad men and narcissistic men and emotionally mature men, because you get involved with them and they always start out charming. They always, because who shows up as their worst self on the first date?
Sure.
Right. You know, if you went on a first date with someone and they're, you know, they're making backhanded comments about your weight or screaming at you in public, you'd be like, I'm fucking out of here,
dude.
Man.
Yeah,
lose my number, bro. But like you, they start off charming, and then as you get in, they start to reveal their real self. But like, you are so accustomed to basically things, love not being easy, and there being conflict there, and it being difficult, and probably arguing, and like, they're probably emotionally immature or maybe not in the greatest life position, and you are programmed and used to helping them and like almost like fixing.
And maybe bringing extra love when you weren't kind of getting it back.
Yep.
You know?
And working extra hard to get that love from them, because that's what you're used to doing. And like, so you just get caught in this cycle, and where, like, Sophie says, like, she doesn't want to give up on him. And that's a lot too. Like, for me, I love my mom, and like, but like, we have such a tumultuous relationship because of how inconsistent it was. And it's like, it's just like, you don't want to give up on her because, and like, she says to her mom and her mom's weird boyfriend, like, you know, oh, you guys don't know how good he can be. You know, you don't see the good parts sometimes. And it's like, you know, debatable that those are not just love bombing from the narcissist, but it's like, and like, that's that same cycle. Is like, when my mom is sober, she's great. You guys don't get to see that often, though. Like, and so I don't want to give up on her, and I want to be there. So
she's used to the roller coaster.
Support her to get sober, but she never does. And that's, and like, just like where, like, your parent never really gets it together or gets sober. Presumably her mom did now, but like, in my case, my mom never did.
Right.
But like, you don't want to give up, and you just go on this roller coaster. And then that's where your men are, where she's used to, like, she doesn't want to give up on him. She wants to believe he can change, but he never does. And the cycle repeats until you leave.
Right. And, you know, I think, too, in a situation kind of on the other side of the same coin, where it's like, you know, Sophie may feel kind of hesitant to take her mom's advice because it's like, I had to take care of you.
Yeah.
Like, what makes you think you can tell me anything? You know what I mean? Like, I'm the one that had to parent you.
Yeah.
And maybe not even a conscious thought, maybe just subconsciously, like, I'm not taking your bullshit advice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, one thing that I had to learn too, which seems so obvious now, but it was one of those things where, like, you don't really realize it until it's like talking about, like, neural pathways and like your brain, you've developed these neural pathways, like, where your brain is going to go, basically, like, thought process when things happen to you. And you learn these things, these pathways get established as you're a child.
Right.
And you grow up. So, like, for me, like, I got the neural pathway, or I got trained that, like, I couldn't give up on my mom. It's my mom. It's who's supposed to love me. You know, I gotta figure out how to adapt to her, you know, her illness, to her behavior. I gotta adapt to where I'm at, because I'm a child. I rely on these people still at the end of the day, drunk or not, for housing, for shelter, for food, for water, for clothes, for bathing, for money, driving me to school. You know, it's like, I'm five. I can't just say, fuck you, I'm out of here. I'm stuck there. So I have to adapt and make it work where I can survive.
And that's the position you're coming from in your romantic relationship.
Yep. So then once you get in relationships like this, you are stuck, and you don't, for me, like, I didn't realize, like, that was still a stuck neural pathway, like a stuck belief, like, subconsciously, that, like, I can't leave. Like, I'm programmed to, like, I have to adapt. I have to figure out how to make this shitty relationship, the shitty dynamic I'm in work. But it's like, No, you don't. You are, I'm an adult. I support myself. I have my own place, my own money, my own job. I don't need anybody for anything like I did as a child. So you can leave. It's like you realize the door's been unlocked and open the whole time. And you're like, what the fuck? When you've been trained your whole life, if you can't go out the door, you can't leave. That's not an
option. Right.
Yeah. And it's like, holy shit, this door, it's like turning the knob. And like, this revelation, has been, like, it's been unlocked the whole time. What? Really? Like,
why am I here? Yeah, exactly. And
like, so I suspect that that's a little bit of like Sophie, where she's kind of probably stuck to some degree like that.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. So, well, Rob meets up with Sophie at a gallery. I don't know why they didn't go to a barbecue place. They're in Texas. But anyway.
A selfie gallery.
How cool is that? How hip.
Very Gen Z. Is that it?
I think so, probably. Neither one of them's wearing their wedding ring.
No.
Now. So Rob did what he kind of thought was apologizing.
Yeah.
And he was kind of frustrated that Sophie wasn't like head over heels about it, you know?
Yeah. And back to the wedding ring thing, though. Like, I don't know. She thought she lost hers, but then
that
like,
was another thing. Like, she left hers behind, and he was like, oh, you left it behind. I brought it to you. And she's like, oh, shit, I thought I lost that thing. It's like,
yeah.
You are so done. Sophie is so fucking done, man. Yeah.
And then she looks, and he doesn't have his on, and he's kind of being shitty to her for not having been wearing a wedding ring. And then he doesn't have one on either. She points it out, and he gave like a typical kind of gaslighting word salad narcissist response for why he doesn't have it on and whatever. I was like, oh, you're so full of shit, bro. Yeah.
So. You know, Rob, here's the thing. Rob was playing the victim, but to be honest, he probably did feel like the victim because he's used to people just kind of giving up and agreeing whenever, like, they want to fight. Because here's the thing. Don't waste your time arguing with a narcissist. You're never going to win. You're never going to convince them that they're wrong. They're not going to hear your point. Yep. It's pointless. Just don't fucking do it. Because a narcissist will argue with you all day long. They've got all the energy in the world to argue with you.
Yep.
You know, and it's just... Because part of it, you know, part of that is that ego, the most important thing in the world to them. They think they're smarter than you. You're not going to beat me at this. It's going to get, even if it's something really stupid, you know, meaningless argument, it's going to mean a lot more to them because you're trying to be smarter than me. And that's not how this goes. And
their whole mission is to get the target off of them. So they'll argue with you until either they get you so upset that you blow up and then you act quote unquote crazy.
Right.
So then now, aha, you're the problem. Look at you being crazy. See? You're the problem. And then, or they'll do it until you eventually have to say sorry, which is what Sophie said last season. Like all that happens is like we argue and then until I say sorry.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
Until they get the target off of them, they'll keep going.
And you know, part of that whole thing, like I said, they'll argue all day long and they'll make the vibe and the energy in the room just horrible.
Oh yeah.
To wear you out. So you get to a certain point where you're just like, you know, I just want peace. Yep. Fuck it. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. I don't want to fight anymore.
Yep.
They rely on it.
Yep.
So then that's a victory.
Yeah.
No, it's really not.
And they do that weird shit of like trying to make the vibe bad and energy bad when like you may not even know that what you did, you know, where it's like for me, like if I had a good day and I shared that with the person, he would, and then I'd go and like get dinner with him later, he would be so like cold and shitty and weird. And it's just like, and I could tell
just
this guy,
black cloud in the room.
Yeah. Man. Like this guy has a fucking problem, but I haven't talked to the fucking guy or seen him to have done anything. So what is his problem? Other than telling him about the good news I had earlier. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's like, I told you I got a raise earlier. Are you pissed at that? Like, what do you, but yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
Because they're insecure and they're upset.
Because you've got shit going on and he didn't.
Yep. Because he's just a rain cloud, man. I used to tell my therapist, I saw her all during the whole time I knew him. So, you know, she was always on like team, you know, get the hell out of there. But, you know, she handled me delicately. But like, I would refer to him in my therapy sessions as my personal rain cloud the whole time I knew him.
Oh, yeah.
And if that's not a red flag, folks, I mean, come on. But like, I would call, I was like, he feels like my personal rain cloud.
Right. You know, and the thing is like, you know, a romantic partner, you're never going to find someone that's perfect, but fuck, they shouldn't make you feel miserable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, don't make, like, either make my life neutral or better. Don't make it fucking worse, man.
Don't make, if you can't help, do no further harm.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Damn. Well, yeah. Like, geez, oh, Pete.
So yeah, for when, you know, Sophie did the right thing. She was done. She got up and walked away and didn't argue. And he probably felt like the victim because he didn't know how to handle that. That's not in his playbook.
Yep, he's not. And narcissists hate that the most. When you just don't give a shit anymore. And I can speak to that. Like, you know what? Have your hissy fit. I'm out. You know, no. Exactly. And I love that Sophie was like, you know what? You sound the same as 2 months ago. You haven't grown up. Bye.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, call me when you have something else to say, you know, and good for her.
Yeah, no, she did the right thing. She did, so. Well, a couple other people coming up this season I'm looking forward to. How about Pat and Thais? I don't care about them. I want to see what happens with John.
Yeah, I just want to see more John.
I don't give
a
fuck about that. Angela and Michael. I want to find out what the fuck happened when Michael had to escape Angela's lair.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on?
I don't know, because I feel like that happened after filming, but like, I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll see.
But by the tell-all, they'll probably be able to cover it.
That's true, yeah.
So, but you know what? Sean kind of stinks as a host, so who knows?
Well, I guess we'll know if Michael is still in hiding for the tell-all or something.
So, witness protection program.
Poor guy.
Lauren and Alexi.
I'm excited for them because I really like them.
We haven't seen them in a while.
No.
Yeah, they're okay. I often mix them up with Andre and Libby, but they're different people.
Yeah, I think Alexi is he's one of the greatest guys that have been on the show.
They're one of the better couple. They're a lot better than Libby and Andre.
Oh, yeah.
And then fucking Ed and Liz, TLC will not let us get away from Ed and Ed.
Yep.
It's like, fucking stop. Nobody likes him.
Yeah. Everybody is just over him.
He's horrific.
Yeah.
And it's like, this guy's got so many accusations of the horrible shit he's done. And it's like, come on, dude.
I mean, obviously we are Big Ed's neck. So, and being that he doesn't have a neck, we are not really even associated to him, if you think about it. So
that's true.
We, you know, just because it pretty has loosely. Part of his name in it, but yeah, loose association. But I'm sick of Ed.
He's so done. So, God damn, it's like they won't let it go.
He is my worst view. Okay,
he's the worst view. It's like they're just gonna shove him right down our fucking throats. So.
Yep.
All right. Well, that just about does it for this edition of Big Ed's Neck, the only 90 Day Fiancé podcast. Please join us next time. We'll talk about 90 Day. Fiancé, happily ever after? Season 8, episode 2. Goodbye.